Many of you may still be stuck in traffic as snowmageddon persists throughout the metro. Later on Central Standard, we'll be talking about the science of traffic, stop and go on highways. Does traffic science even respond to inclement weather? But first, a new group is looking to emphasize community rather than religion. We'll talk with the leader of OASIS, a group that will hold its first gathering coming up this spring. I'm Laura Ziegler. In addition to community and traffic, we'll hear what many of you told us you did on your snow days today on Central Standard. All that and your calls coming up after this hour's news. This is Central Standard. I'm Laura Ziegler. Atheism, or the belief that there is no God, goes back for centuries. It gained traction following the Renaissance, the French Revolution, and the Reformation. It came into vogue again as communism took hold after World Wars I and II. And atheism has continued to morph into modern times. But many feel atheism does not respond to their needs for community. Simply the coming together of people from a wide range of backgrounds who seek to share a common set of beliefs. Here to help us understand some of the things about this movement and what distinguishes it from other spiritual, cultural, philosophical, and for that matter, political movements is Helen Stringer. She's the executive director of OASIS. Thanks for being here, Helen.
Thanks for having me.
Heard you had kind of a time getting in this morning.
Oh, yes. Tis the season, right?
Yeah, and I think listeners will probably relate to that. Many of them may be still in their cars trying to get to where they're going. It was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Let me start this way. Mm-hmm. Helen, I want to ask you to give me your definition of the following words. Atheist, spirituality, community.
Okay, so you want me to define each word or in relation to
the
other
word? In the context of what you're trying to do with OASIS.
Okay, in context to OASIS. So you first brought up, you said atheism specifically. First and foremost, this is not necessarily an atheist church. Kind of think the wording in and of itself is an oxymoron. I don't know how you can, you know, have a church full of a lack of dogma or a lack of disbelief.
Is OASIS a church?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Now, we will say that we are more of an alternative to church. So you'll still find a lot of the community, a lot of the social support that you often find in church, but you won't necessarily, you know, there won't be dogma.
What's the role of spirituality?
Spirituality, we like to say that we are a community grounded in reason, celebrating the human experience, meaning that our content and what we will often have during our gatherings will be things that are based on reason and things that can be empirically supported. Does that make sense?
Are you secular humanists?
There may be some secular humanists in that. One thing I'd like to kind of cover is the thing with labels. And that's one of the things that one of our values is that labels are not important. And what I mean by that is if you look at any label, say introverts or extroverts, you tend to immediately ascribe certain values to those people or what they should be. An extrovert, they're outgoing. An introvert, you know, they're quiet and withheld.
And at the same time, what they're not.
Yeah, exactly, what they're not. And that can be really limiting. You don't get to see the whole person. So we have the same challenge with that right now with these labels, since there is – it's somewhat of a new cultural movement, the growth of atheism, secular humanism. You can throw all the labels, agnostic, you know, all of those that necessarily don't fit with under the banner of theism. But we don't want to get lost in those labels or too wrapped up in them, because in reality, we care more about the person, we care about the whole person, and we are welcoming those who feel like they don't necessarily have a community home, mm-hmm. something that is like a church, but not.
So the name OASIS suggests to me that what you're trying to do is create a space for people that don't really fit anywhere else. Is that right?
Yes and no. I think it's look at it this way. if you look at any denomination or religion, I can use the Baptist Church, for example. I think there's around 33 million members of the Baptist denomination. And I really doubt that all 33 million of them are in agreement about all the things they believe and don't believe. And that's fine. And you'll find a lot of diversity in that way. But the challenge comes when you start to realize that you're a little different, you know, and that you start to make different realizations and connections and begin to find that you don't agree with this, whether it be, gosh, service things, music, or bigger things like politics or belief systems. But the more you kind of find that you differ, the less you feel like you can be your authentic self. And that's kind of what I experienced as I realized I no longer, you know, believed in Christian beliefs.
Now you grew up in Excelsior Springs, Missouri.
I did.
And, yeah. And was that a fairly conservative religious community for you, or a fairly conservative environment? Is that something
that's hard to say? Since my parents, we attended church off and on.
Was it a Baptist church?
No, gosh, I think I've run the gamut of denominations, except for I've never gone to a Catholic church. I think it was Disciples of Christ and Presbyterian, and then eventually Assemblies of God. I wouldn't say necessarily religious. I think our city, you know, especially suburban and rural, tend to probably be a lot more conservative than your urban areas. But I can't speak for Excelsior specifically, but I would say overall, you know, it's the Midwest. It tends to be.
Well, here's what I guess I'm wondering. Do you feel like in this, what you're searching for now through mm-hmm. Oasis, do you feel like you were reacting to some experience in your background that didn't give you something that you feel like you need now?
Well, I miss the community. One of the things, you know, as I realized I didn't ascribe to those beliefs is that what I loved most about church, and I think my parents probably were the same way, is that social connection that it gives you, that community. It gives you a place to come together and celebrate life's highs, you know, and then also a support system for the inevitable really low moments of life. Mm-hmm. And I think as anyone who doesn't necessarily fit into church for whatever reason kind of misses out on that. You know, we have other opportunities to kind of do that, but in our culture, the church has been that. So it's time to start re-envisioning what we can do without, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. There are some really great elements of what religion has brought our culture, but what I'm hoping to do is to provide an alternative that gives that community and that support, that cohesion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I hear you saying is those are, and this is what I was going to ask you next, mm-hmm. about the tenets of what Oasis-ism, or I don't know, I guess you're just calling it Oasis is the name of the community,
yes.
or the institution that
yes.
you're creating. So, I think that people who are listening would argue that they get that community from their Christian church, from mm-hmm. their Presbyterian church. They get it at their Jewish temple or their Islamic mosque. They also have tenets of their religions, like mm-hmm. the Christians have the Trinity, the Jews have you have your life on earth.
Uh-huh.
Islam has the followings of Muhammad. Are there tenets of the Oasis institution that people can think about if they're thinking, well, this is something interesting to me?
We have a list of values, and I think that will more speak to who we are and the direction that we want to go with our community. The first one is that people are more important than beliefs. So instead of getting wrapped up over, you know, the belief systems, we care about the whole person and the human being. Another one is that human hands solve human problems. You know, the only way we can really solve problems is with each other, along with other human beings. Reality is known through a reason. I think that may be one that helps to kind of clarify, you know, what our content will be and where we'll be, the kind of direction that we'll go with. Another one is that labels are unimportant. I mentioned that previously. Another one is meaning comes from making a difference. One of the things that we will do is to give back to the community and find opportunities that, you know, we can provide service and reach out to our fellow Kansas City residents. Another one is unity in our values, charity in our differences. And that's something that we feel with this kind of a neutral community that we want to aspire to. Lastly, our last value is be accepting and simply be accepted in return. We want this to be a safe place for all people to feel comfortable. That means that like you had said, you know, those people who feel like they have community in their church, that's great. I have no intention of, it's not a competition. It's simply an alternative for those who haven't found that kind of community or miss it because maybe they did have a church background. But there are some people who don't have a church background who may really enjoy having that community support and that kind of social interaction that you get from seeing someone on a potentially weekly basis and sharing a cup of coffee and having a really great conversation about new ideas or artists in the area. I mean, the opportunities are pretty much endless.
So if I come to an Oasis meeting, what's it going to look like, sound like, feel like?
Basically, we're going to bring in live music. So we'll bring in local musicians each week, have a couple songs. We will also have a community moment, which we will have someone from our community kind of just share their story and kind of share, you know, where they've been or their thoughts on certain things. And then we'll also have a speaker each week. And those will vary depending on the week. I, too, will also speak probably 50% of the time, maybe once a month. And, of course, over all this, we'll be having coffee. We even hope to probably have once a month potlucks. You know, food is a really great thing to get people around and just have, you know, a conversation and establish some relationships. An element that is really important to what we're doing is that we want to be very family friendly. One of the things in Kansas City that I've noticed as a secular person is that there isn't a lot of options for families. A lot of the community that's come out of a lot of the meetup groups tend to be younger, not as many family oriented things. There is one group that I belong to called the Freethinking Family Fellowship. It's been fantastic because there's other people with kids, a lot of, you know, good family
stuff.
You have
kids?
Yeah. And,
do you have kids yourself?
I do. I have a 3- and a 6-year-old boy.
Okay.
And that's been great, but that group's bursting at the seams. And it's the only one that I know of in the area that's, you know, actively meeting they're only meeting once a month, you know. Mm-hmm. But if we can create something that's weekly and have people connecting more often, we can really start to build a really good, solid community that brings in that second generation and gives them, you know, friendships and support as well.
And will you be talking about the values with them somehow in education and
Absolutely.
Programming?
We hope to collaborate with Houston Oasis and kind of create some programming that will, you know, help inspire them and help them figure out what their worldview is. Because from my point of view, you know, my kids are still blank slates and I hope that they discover for themselves what they believe. It's not my job to tell them what they need to believe.
Well, we'll talk about how the Kansas City Oasis is partnering or picking up on the model from Houston. We'll talk about a number of other things about what it looks like, what the role of what they're feeling about government is, and all kinds of things. You are listening to KCUR-FM, streaming live on kcur.org. I'm Laura Ziegler. Our guest today is Helen Stringer. She's the executive director of Oasis. It's a group seeking weekly community meetings. Weekly, right? Mm-hmm. Weekly community meetings. For those of you who don't want necessarily a faith-based underpinning to your meetings and your efforts to seek community, join our conversation by calling 816-235-2888. Email us. Our address is centralstandard@kcur.org, or you can tweet us at KCURCST. You mentioned Houston. You are building the Kansas City Oasis model off a model that originated in Houston. Is this something that started up there?
There have been some other similar communities, I think, in the United States. But Houston Oasis, when I talked with their executive director, Mike Oss, when I started to seek out what possibilities I would have for support and resources, Mike Oss and I shared very similar goals and vision for what we wanted for our communities. Felt that affiliating, you know, united, we would be stronger and have more opportunities working together.
Let's talk to some people who are calling. I think people have questions. Like, I have more questions about what you're doing, but some of our listeners do too. And we'll go to Chris in Mission. Hi, Chris. You're on the air. Do you have a question? You there, Chris? Well, we're not getting Chris right now. Let me ask you this. We'll come back to him. Sorry, Chris. We'll come back to you. The Oasis website says that Oasis is, quote unquote, a neutral place. What does that mean?
That means we would like to it be a safe place for someone who maybe does have a faith-based belief or they're maybe believe more of a deistic point of view, that they would feel comfortable there. What I don't want to have at our gatherings is anything that's anti-religion. You know, we're not in competition. We're not out to demean or to speak badly about people of faith. You know, in fact, we'd rather collaborate and kind of join some of the interfaith connections and be represented in such a way.
Chris wanted to know, what's the difference between Oasis and Unitarianism?
I think that element, you asked the question about the spirituality. My experience with at least the local – did he say universalism or unity?
Unitarianism.
Unitarian.
Yeah.
There's still – that's a very, very diverse group. What my experience is – this is Helen. This is my experience – has been that they still have an element of spirituality that from a person – from myself, I always felt still – like I just didn't fit within that group. There's a level of – there's still some elements of faith and mysticism, I guess you could say. I don't know if that's the best word, but
– So is that something that you guys are sort of
– We would be different in that respect, and that's why
– Eliminating that.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. We would really – that whole grounding everything in reason and as much as we can, you know, content-wise, having things that can be empirically supported in some way or some fashion.
Michael from Ottawa, Kansas, emailed – two questions. He wants to know, do you make a distinction between atheism and non-theism? Mm-hmm. And secondly, when you talk about empirical connections, do you include true mystical experiences? And he says, parenthetically, without drugs.
Okay, so the first one was the differences
between atheism and non-theism. In other words, I think atheism, he's talking mm-hmm. about, is a denial mm-hmm. of God, mm-hmm. and non-theism is no recognition of any any existential entity
at all.
For
what Oasis is doing, I don't think there needs to be a distinction because the content will not be about that. I can assure you that people who may identify as atheists don't sit around and talk about atheism or their disbelief in something. You know, it's just – it happens to be an element they don't share with our common culture, so it gets a little extra attention. Non-theism, I think there's a lot more people who identify with that than they do with atheism. I don't know if you've seen the Pew Research reports recently that about, I think, one-fifth of Americans identify as not affiliated within mm-hmm. a religion. Mm-hmm. And then 30 and under, it's a third of the population identify as not affiliated. And I think there's a lot of diversity within that group that's sometimes also called the nuns, if you've heard that said. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that in a way is
– N-O-N-E-S.
Yep, the nuns. So yeah, not like the Catholic nuns, but the people who don't have any affiliation. And I feel like that whole group kind of is encompassing and something that we may be able to offer and a community for those people as well. I don't want to get hung up on labels, like I said before. It happens really fast. Those labels are not important.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. If I believe in God, am I mm-hmm. welcome at Oasis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If someone didn't feel comfortable being there, as long as they can be accepting of everyone else in return and respectful, then we're meeting, you know, our goals. That's the kind of environment we want to create. Let's, you know, why can't we celebrate our differences instead of divide over them?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. There's a lot of talk now about online communities, mm-hmm. and particularly I think our young people who've grown up online, like my children, who mm-hmm. won't even use their phones, basically. they tweet and text and less and less even Facebook. But there are these online communities that many people are saying, commentators are saying, are replacing community and are creating the community for our young people. Do you all do you feel that that's a risk, or are you embracing social media? Is there a way to kind of exploit the power of social media to enhance the role of community for your folks?
I think you have to move along with the times, and I think actually social media is great. The only downfall of it is that some people tend to just rely on that interaction over a computer rather than one-on-one interactions. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've read is about how different our physiological and neurological responses are to when we're one-on-one with someone versus talking to someone over the internet. It's very different. And we have much more benefit to our psychological well-being when we're one-to-one with other people. We really need to have, you know, community and family. And our culture kind of is starting to lack that, whether you can blame, you know, our, you know, social media or the internet, or just because we have so much mobility, people move for jobs, they don't have those tight-knit families anymore. Our culture is really, I think, desperate for a better source of community and belonging. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about what Oasis can offer.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to play devil's advocate, now people are actually Skyping or they have FaceTime. To me, one of the losses of the online community is that you don't see people's body language. Mm-hmm. You don't see their facial expressions. You don't really see how one another react to what the other person is saying. But now they're able to do that. Mm-hmm. They're actually able to do that. So is that a risk that people will gravitate more? I mean, will it undermine this effort to actually come physically together?
Absolutely not. No, I don't think so. I think it's something that's kind of just a new added benefit to our culture. But no, I don't think there's any risk with that whatsoever. I don't know if you've ever tried to. I've had to have Google Plus Hangout meetings, and no matter what, there's glitches. I know that probably in the future it will be glitch free, but right now it's kind of awkward because it'll glitch in and out, and so you miss certain facial expressions or gestures, or someone's gestures or faces get stuck on something weird and you get distracted.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still not a perfect working, there's kind of a delay. Oh, yeah.
But I have to say, last night, my daughter was talking to her sister, who's in college in another state, and my oldest, who's in college, wanted to see the dog. So my daughter brought down her laptop and they were Skyping, and she was carrying the computer around trying to show my daughter, who's out of town, the dog. And they did it. They actually did it.
That's cool.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a connection.
Yeah.
I mean, it made us feel good that they were actually connecting that way. But it's not the same as being in the same place. Of course, they're in other states. And I know the military, for example.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know, it creates a great... So anyway, you just see the whole online thing as a real...
It's great. And you know what?
Supplemental to what you're trying
to do. Absolutely. That's a really great way of putting it. The whole, if you talk, you brought up atheism, but any of the secular humanists, they've really been able to use meetup groups, at least in Kansas City. That's been a huge way that they just all started to find each other and to start to connect in some fashion. So I think the internet brings a lot of opportunity that we didn't have in the past and ways to connect. But hopefully we just don't leave it at that, that we take it one step further and get together physically.
Let's go to Wes, who's calling from Kansas City, and he wants to know about the perception of God, the difference of moving forward in science wisdom teaching. Spirituality won't be able to move forward. Wes, are you there? Help us understand what you want to know.
Well, I think that Oasis is a great program. It's a movement forward. It's an attempt to move forward, not to disassociate ourselves with faith or spirituality, but to bring it into our lives without the dogma, as I think I recall the lady saying. And I've spent a lot of time in study, actually a life study. I began as a Christian, but I've studied Zen Buddhism, of Shankara Sharia teachings, the Brahman teachings. I've studied pretty much all the monotheistic religions and such, and have done a great deal of research study. And I know that many of the young kids, many of my nieces, for example, who are going through college right now, whenever they take a comparative religion course, they're talking to me about people who are in the research community. Dr. Robert Eisenman, for instance, a lot of people who are writing, who are current day who are doing current day studies on the Dead Sea Scrolls and such, and on new documents, new documents discovered, such as Nag Hammadi, which are Gnostic, around third or fourth century. The point I'm wanting to make is, and this has been my experience, the division that causes the conflict that we have generally in society all throughout the world right now, spiritually, is what we know about the universe now through science, the reality of what we know now. For example, humans only experience about 10% of what's actually going on in the universe. We only are able to experience a very, very small portion.
Hey, Wes, I don't mean to rush you along. We're kind of running out of time. Do you have a question for Helen?
The question is how you, I guess the how do you perceive God to be? Do you perceive, is your perception of God based on a Ptolemaic structure of the universe, or is it based on new perceptions of the universe based on science?
Let's give her a chance to respond. Thanks, Wes.
Thank you for your question. I do appreciate that. I'm not sure what you mean. You said Ptolemaic. That's not something that I'm actually familiar with. For myself, you know, for Helen, for myself, my vision or my understanding of God and where I stand with that is very much based on reason. I went to school to actually be a pastor. My undergraduate degree is in pastoral studies. I originally had the intention to be a pastor and to help people through that type of community. And through lots of study and, gosh, a lot of conversations, just eventually realized I didn't believe it anymore.
Was there a moment or something that happened?
No, it's a very, very gradual process. It's not an event. And a lot of other people who have experienced the same thing will kind of say the same thing. But that's my reality. That's Helen's. I don't want Oasis. It's not about me. You know, it's about the community, people who come together. So I'm hoping that with that diversity that, you know, the stuff he was talking about, I think that's things that we should just have great conversations about. Why not talk about stuff? Just because we may not agree doesn't mean we can't have respectful conversations, you know, about things, about potentially spirituality. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. Let me ask you this. What do you guys have shared political assumptions?
I would rather not. I would try to steer away from that.
So you don't talk about the role of government or taxes or big government or small government?
You know, one of the things that I did not like about my experience with church was that they tend to get politically involved. And I would like to steer away with that, at least with Kansas City Oasis. I think there are other organizations who do a fabulous job of helping to inform people politically. But I would rather us, you know, as long as our content, you know, like I said, you know, that be accepting and be accepted in return, there might be, you know, a lot to be within that that might have some political stuff. But in reality, I'd rather avoid being politically charged.
Helen Stringer, Executive Director of Oasis. This has been a really fascinating conversation, and I wish you all the best of luck.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to be talking about the science of traffic. What can we learn about engineering how we move around in our cars? This is a huge metro area, so it's a topic with a lot of potential for conversation. Stay with us. We'll return in just a moment with Central Standard.